Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. This is your daily message of hope. This is Father Stosh Daly. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest. She's on her home visit from her mission assignment. Joining me today is Sister Maria Giovanni Paolo de Eucaristia. That's all one name. Welcome, Sister.
Thank you, Father. It's good to be here.
Welcome back home, I should say, because you're on your home visit, right?
Right. Thank
you. Awesome. Sister, you have a very beautiful name in religious life. Sister Maria Giovanni Paolo de Eucaristia. What does that mean?
Well, Sister, in English, it is Sister Mary John Paul of the Eucharist. And that name...
That's a lot to write on a personal check.
It is, but you know...
With the vow of poverty, you don't have personal checks.
This is true. However, some people have a struggle with my name, which I found to be just a beautiful name. But I have numerous names with it.
But you took the Italian version,
right? I took the Italian version because I didn't get an Italian name growing up. I have an Italian heritage. My sister got her Italian name. My brother got his. And now I have mine. God gave it to me. So I'm very proud and it's an honor to have such a name.
Beautiful. But all the different parts of your name speak to a part of your love for the Holy Faith, our Catholic faith. You have Maria. Then you have Giovanni Paolo. Then you have della Eucaristia, of
right.
the Eucharist.
Right.
Considering the beautiful life of John Paul II, and of course, this is totally unrehearsed. You know, no premeditation here. Why would you ask your superiors to receive the name Giovanni Paolo after John Paul? What was it about his life as our Pope that spoke to you?
There were so many things. The first was in 2004, when I went to the Eucharistic Congress in Guadalajara, Mexico, I remember being in the stadium when St. John Paul was supposed to come, and he was too ill to travel, so they had him via satellite. And we were sitting in the stadium, and he started to choke on his saliva. It was the, I should say this first, it was the year of the Eucharist that we all went. And as we were in the stadium, he started to choke on his saliva, and he couldn't finish it, his speech. And then the cardinal got up and spoke.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a dry eye in that stadium, from the youngest who knew him to the oldest.
Yeah.
Everyone was crying. But the glory of it was when they lifted the yellow balloons and the doves, the smile that came on John Paul's face was just breathtaking to me. And I said, the Eucharist will be in my name.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wanted that. And he taught me so much. He taught me how to serve. He taught me how to be a people person. Yeah. I can walk up to anybody that's a stranger and I can pretty much tell who will talk to me and who won't. And I love that. And he taught me how to serve, to love, and the love of the Eucharist. I have a love for the Eucharist that is deepened me so much and more now that I've been in my religious life.
Yeah.
But not only his name, but the name John Paul, Giovanni Paolo, is John for love, because the Gospel of John, that's one of my favorites. It always speaks to me of love.
Yeah.
And Paul was also one who persecuted the church, and then he had his, you know, conversion. For myself, I'm a cradle Catholic. I fell away from the church a little bit, but I feel like Paul in that sense when I had the reversion back to the faith. So I feel the name just fits who I am today, the person who never ridiculed the church, but had fallen away.
Yeah.
I didn't fully go with the church like I should have as a cradle Catholic. But so today having the name is an honor. And my grandma Rossini loved our Blessed Mother. She taught me how to keep the rosary going and how to pray the rosary and everything. So.
Would you say that memory of John Paul II, now St. John Paul II, when you were able to attend the Eucharistic Congress in Guadalajara in 2004, would you say that's your favorite memory, or is there another memory of him that's your favorite that you think back?
I have a lot of memories. I remember I was visiting in Italy. This is the one to crack you up too. I'm at the square and John Paul's coming in the Pope mobile and he's right there in front of me and I couldn't say anything but I love you, Pope. I couldn't even say his name, but it was an honor to see him. And I felt like he looked me in the face because I said Pope instead of his name. But there are a lot of great memories. I remember even watching when the Holy Doors opened and he could hardly kneel down in the year 2000. And I thought, my gosh, here's a man who is suffering, but you'd never know it.
Yeah,
and so
true.
There were a lot of things that he suffered that he never showed. But the things he did of reading the five I think the Five Loves of St. John Paul.
Sure, yeah.
That book definitely was him, and I learned a lot about him in that book too.
Yeah. You know, back in 96 to 2000, you and I got to know each other because of Youth 2000 Retreat. And a very beautiful, awesome, Eucharistic-centered retreat. And of course, John Paul II was alive with us here on Earth, and he was our Pope. And it's one of those things, like, I oftentimes go back in my memory and I think about what it was like to be not only growing up and then in high school and discerning the priesthood under now Saint, then Pope John Paul II, but I also think of just like his love for, I'm going to say young people, but truth be told, he had a love for all of humanity. Like, no, there was no one who was not loved by him, whether it was the sick and the infirm, which he would speak about when he would visit Lourdes, or his beloved and dear young people, or whether it was just the average Joe and Jane walking on the street in Rome, he would want to stop and see them. I mean, this man truly loved people. And yet at the same time, he was no stranger to incredible suffering, losing his mother at a young age. And perhaps because of that and the wisdom of his father, he drew so close to Our Lady. And you know, there's just something very much about his humanity, which I think spoke volumes to everybody. You know, and I remember, you know, whenever we would mention John Paul II at Youth 2000 Retreat, I mean, there could be 800 people in the gymnasium for that retreat, whether it was the CFR friars, the diocesan priests, the seminarians, the sisters. I mean, you mentioned John Paul II and everyone would just erupt, scream and cheer. I mean, all of us who remember him and have personal memories, we have that favorite encounter. But what would you say, what would you offer to people today, perhaps our young people who don't have that lived memory of him? You know, like if you could say something to invite them to look him up, just Google search John Paul II, you know, what would be that reason why you would encourage them?
I think the one thing that really stood out with me as you were talking about Youth 2000 and whatnot, if they would just look up Youth 2000 and see the youth that have gone there for Youth 2000 and just unbelievable. But also look up his funeral.
Yeah.
He had more people at his funeral than anyone would ever think would go. Not just Catholics.
It's true.
He had different religious communities or different religions there. But that spoke the love that everyone had for him as well. And I just think that's what's missing in our world today is love. And if they want authentic, true love, they need to look him up and just read on that too.
That's true.
And he was a man of peace.
Yeah,
because just the way he spoke and his prayer, he was a very peaceful person.
And I think, you know, we have to kind of enter into his life to appreciate his prayer and his peace. I mean, this was a man who overcame incredible violence.
Exactly.
You know, he overcame the dictatorship of Nazism in Poland and then communism. And I think it's something a lot of people don't like to hear or maybe admit, but he also overcame the divisiveness within the church. You know, there were a lot of people who wanted the church to go in different directions than she was going in fidelity to Jesus. And John Paul II, while he was very kind, very loving, very much a people person, he was also very, you know, firm and, one might say, with a badge of honor, stubborn, you know? I mean, but I think, you know, when you look at someone who is that convicted, and that's a good word to describe John Paul II, he was convicted by the love of Jesus. When you overcome that kind of suffering and that kind of pain, it fortifies you, it makes you strong. And I think his sensitivity and his humanity was enhanced by his deep, powerful love for two realities. First, Mary. Second, Jesus in the Eucharist. And like when you think of John Paul II, a lot of people say, well, he was a Marian Pope. His phrase, you know, his motto is totus tuus, totally yours. And then other people say, no, he was a Eucharistic Pope, you know? I mean, he was all about the Eucharist. He was the one that fostered and encouraged adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and parishes once again returning to the practice of adoring the Lord. Truth be told, it's a both and. He's both Marian and Eucharistic. And whenever you meet someone who remembers him, recalls him, thinks about him, the memories are inevitably going to be including one of those or both of those, Marian and Eucharistic. You know, sister, what is the name of the religious order to which you belong?
I belong to the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, also known as SOLT. I've been with them for 17 years now. Beautiful community.
But Ohio is your home.
But Ohio is my home. I'm serving in Iowa right now, the Hawkeyes, but I'm a Buckeye, I have to say. So
had to get that in.
Had to get that in there. That's right. One thing I wanted to say, I remember when you were talking about the name, you know, the St. John Paul the Great is, you know, Marian and with the Eucharist. I remember a priest asked my name and I told him and he said, oh, you have it all in your name, don't you? Which is true because that's how I know St. John Paul.
Yeah, it's true.
Is
yeah.
from Mary and the Eucharist.
Eucharist.
Because,
yeah.
When I did have my name, I had it as Sister John Paul, Mary of the Eucharist. But when they said my name, they put Mary first because that's what John Paul did.
Yeah.
You know, he always put our Blessed Mother first. What was I thinking? So it's true. But that's, you know, those were two highlighted things that I always remember St. John Paul talking about was our Blessed Mother and the Eucharist.
And the Holy Eucharist. Absolutely. Yeah. So, now what, you know, this daily message of hope is here towards the end of the afternoon, early evening on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Like, what would you offer to people, anybody, everybody, what would you offer to them in these last few seconds just to foster hope within their hearts?
I think that as long as you have your faith and you continue with your faith and do the will of God, you can't go wrong. You will always have that peace as long as you do the will of the Father. And that is a holy card that I have, and I always look at that for me because in His will is our peace, and that is the truth. When you're doing what God wants you to do and you know that you're doing God's will, you will always have that peace, and you will always be comforted with that.
Amen.